But she come and asked Betty, said, Betty, would you keep my baby for me till I find a babysitter? She said, what's wrong? She said, I can't find anybody that can keep him. She said, what's wrong? She said, well, he cries a lot. Oh, my wife said, I ain't never seen a child I can't keep. You know, I mean, here, you know, she's nearly 56 or 7 or 8 years old or whatever, and she's raised our two. She said, I never seen one I couldn't keep. Bring him over. Sure, I'll keep him for you for a few weeks till you find one. So she brought him over, and I didn't talk to her about him. And finally, Thursday, three weeks later, she said, I can't keep this child. I said, what do you mean? She said, this baby screams all the time. Said, there's not anything I can do. I can try to play with him. I can set him down. I try to feed him. He won't sleep. He screams all the time. I said, well, we both know that's not normal, don't we? She said, of course that's not normal. I looked up and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, what's wrong with Caleb? And immediately I heard the Lord say, tormenting spirit. Now, some kind of sin opened the door for that devil to come in that child. I said, okay, no problem. Next morning, the mama brought Caleb. She set him down in a little high chair, and he's screaming his head off, and she's crying as she leaves that morning. When she drives down the road, I walk over there, and I kneel down in front of him. I reached up, and I reached him on the edge of the shoulders, and I get a hold of his shoulder, and I shake him one time brisk, and I look right in his eye, and I said, you tormenting spirit of hell, come out of him, and don't you ever enter him again in the name of Jesus. I turned him loose, and I said, he's gone. Guarantee you and Caleb will have a great day today. I walked out of the room. I went to work. Come in that afternoon, and he says, why did we do this? You are not going to believe the day I had with Caleb today. I said, you had a great day with Caleb, didn't you? He was the most perfect little boy. He didn't cry. He stopped crying the minute you did that. He had a great breakfast. He had an hour nap that morning. He had a beautiful lunch. He slept an hour and a half this afternoon. And when Mama came after him, he hadn't cried all day. She said, you just can't believe this. I said, of course, I knew that's what was going to happen. See, that's the difference between somebody walking in faith and somebody not walking in faith, right? Well, Monday, when Mama brought him back, she brought him back Monday morning. She walked in and she said, Betty, what in the world did you do to my son? Did you give him some medicine? And Betty said, well, no, I would never give him medicine without your permission. What did you do to my son? And she said, well, Thurman and I prayed for him. So she said, well, whatever you did, it worked. Said he didn't cry all weekend long. He's been a perfect little boy. So she gets in the car and drives off. And I said, why didn't you tell her that I cast a demon out of that baby? She said, I live with you, and I'm not even ready for this. I know that Baptist woman ain't ready for that. Isn't it wonderful to live with a man that can cast out a demon? Cheryl loves it too. I've had to cast a couple out of her. I mean, you know, demons is what makes us sick. I mean, you know, I remember when we went on our first fast. You know, these webs come up all over Cheryl's face. She started, honey, what is this? I said, no big deal. It's just demons that are come into your body over the life of sin. You know, I mean, when you walk in unbelief, you know how many of you may have demons living in your body? Maybe all of us. Maybe all of us, you know. So don't reach up and say, well, ain't none living in me, because if one will throw you right on the ground right here, right now. Because any of us could have these devils, I'll tell you for sure. But anyway, I'd reached up and I prayed for my honey bunny. I commanded those devils to leave. And just like the night she come in, she couldn't sing. She was going to sing with her daughter to 1,200 people. Had a big thing they was going to sing to. She walked in, honey, I can't talk. Now, that's not exactly what a singer wants to hear at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when she's got to sing at 7. I reached up and grabbed her by the neck and shook her a couple times and said, come out of her, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. I didn't pray for her at all. I commanded that devil to come out of her. I said, now, I turned her loose and I said, now, woman, sing to me. See, you got to do something in faith, don't you? And that's exactly what she did. She sang beautiful. Now then, as sons and daughters of God, how much power and authority do we have over the devils? So what is it we don't understand about that? What is it we don't understand about having all power over the devil, and he shall in no wise hurt us? Isn't it amazing? Now see, under the new covenant, under the old covenant, we showed you over and over and over what brought sickness into your life. And it was sin, wasn't it? And now we're coming over into the new covenant, and when we repent to Jesus, what is he able to do to us? Heal us. Is that good news? How many did he heal? That it might be fulfilled was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus, he took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, I'm telling you what. Now, you can have your sickness if you want to. But if Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, I'm going to let him keep them. Amen. I don't want them. Do you? I want every sin repented of. Don't you, Jack? Yes. My desire is just like yours. I want to walk straight down that holy path with the King. I don't want no sickness and disease. If he bore it, then we're going to let him keep it. I don't want it. Do you? No. We're going to walk in divine health. We do not want to be sick. Now, let's go to the next two. In Matthew 9, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. What did he say? Be healed? What did he say? So what was wrong with the boy? He was a sinner. Why did he have the palsy? Because of sin. When the Lord forgave the sin, what happened to him? He got healed. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. You know, if you go around and start forgiving people's sin, you know what some people in the church are going to say about you? You are crazy. You can't forgive sin. But did I show you in the Word where he says you can? Well, it all depends on who you're going to believe. That's when somebody said, I don't believe you can forgive sin. I said, I believe I can. Because it's written in the Word. It is written. Is it not written in the Word? Okay, if it's written, I don't believe I can do that. You know, I never heard such a stupid thing in my life. I don't believe you can do that. Well, did you ever read the Bible? Well, no. I tried one time, but I didn't understand it, so I never did go back to it. That's what's wrong with us, right? So if you get in it and spend time with God and seek Him, He will reveal Himself to you in the Word. And then you can do these things. And after this, this man was blaspheming. Let's go to the next 4 and 5. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, Arise and walk? Now see, until you get their sins confessed, you can't say, Arise and walk, can you? See? I mean, isn't this clear that He wants us to repent of our sin first, and then say, Arise and walk, in the name of Jesus? It's really that simple, isn't it? I mean, it just couldn't be any simpler. Okay, let's go to the next verse. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up your bed, and go into your house. And he arose and departed to his own house. Was the man healed? Yeah. So, in other words, the sin had to be forgiven first, according to that, right? So that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Arise, take up your bed and walk. Hey, that's why when I pray for you, before I pray for you, I want you to confess your sin. I want you to say, Lord, I repent of every sin, known and unknown. I repent of all of my sins. If I got unforgiveness toward anybody, if I've thought any bad thoughts about anybody for anything, I forgive. And one of the things that gets us today is favoritism. You know, we even have children, we show favoritism. And do you know God says in His Word, now that's in James, but in the book of James, that's not one of my scriptures, but I'll just cover that right quick. He said, and many of you will know the story when I tell it, He said, a poor man walks into your church. And you say, oh, you old scroungy critter, you come back over here and sit on the back corner. I don't want the likes of you sitting up here on the front row. And then this one over here comes in, oh, dressed in a beautiful outfit. Oh, you come down here. I got a special place for you right here on the front. But this old scroungy critter puts her back there in the back. The Lord says, you're guilty of favoritism. And that's sin. And He said, since you sinned in favoritism, you showed partiality between these people. You now have broken my law. and you're guilty of not only favoritism, but you're guilty of murder and adultery. Yeah. What? All I did showed favoritism between these two people. But he said, because you've done that, you're guilty. If you break one part of God's law, if you notice, when you fall from grace, when you sin, you're walking on this plane of grace, and when you sin, you fall from grace back under the law. And when you fall back under the law, when you break one part of the law, how many parts are you guilty of breaking? That's why he could say, because you showed favoritism between these two, now you're guilty of not only favoritism, but murder and adultery. Now then, if I'm guilty of murder and adultery, what do you think the demons of hell are going to do? Them hounds are going to be turned loose on me. That's going to be just like taking a pack of hounds out there, and you take an old fox out there, and you turn him loose, and them hounds are jumping, and you got them on their leash, but the minute you turn that fox loose and he starts running, you turn them hounds loose, and man, they after that fox, ain't they? Whoa! They can run. Well, that's exactly what them demons are doing whenever they're turned loose on you. I mean, they're out there, they're chained up, they can't get you. But the minute you show favoritism and you're guilty of murder and adultery, the snap comes loose and they're after you. And they'll make you sick. They will torment you. But he said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed and go. And he arose and departed to his house. Let's go through the next one. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and they glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Let's go to the next one. And it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Who would ever think that Jesus would sit down with all these gory people? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, if you come to a healing school and you're well, praise God. If you don't have nothing wrong with you, you want to stay that way. So from a healing school, you can learn the things that's required, and you can walk holy and obedient to God's word, and you can walk in divine health all of your life.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.